end up in Hebrews chapter 11, but let me, while you're turning there, let me give you three or four verses. For example, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Or Galatians 3:11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, for it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Hebrews 10:38, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And then Hebrews chapter 11, beginning, let me read just verse 6 for this moment, and then we will proceed. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Who is him? God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, having come to the second Sunday of another year, I want to direct your attention to this concept of faith. Faith is an important ingredient in our lives. The King James Version of the Bible uses the word faith 247 times in 231 different verses. Now, interestingly, 245 of the 247 times that the word faith is used in the Bible, it's used in the New Testament. That ought to really speak to our hearts, given that we are a part of the New Testament age. It's only used twice in the Old Testament in its entirety. The first time it's used in the Old Testament, it's in Deuteronomy, where God is describing his own people, Israel. And in spite of the fact that they had known the blessings and the provisions and the protection of God, they had neglected of them. And of them, God said, "I will hide my face from them." Stop. Is that a place where we would want to be, with God's face hidden from us? He said, "I will see what their end shall be." Stop. Do you really want God in the background of your life, leaving you to live your life alone out there, you and your friends or your family, but alone without him, without his provision, without his protection, without his direction? Or do you, like me, want God to be a vital force in your life, a pillar of fire in the darkness of your life, and a cloud in the daytime that will lead you and guide you each step of the way? For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The children in whom is no faith, the verse concludes. Now, we understand we are to be people of faith. The second time that the word faith is used in the Old Testament, Habakkuk is receiving instructions from the Lord, and the instruction is concerning the message which is to be delivered by the prophet. He said, "Behold, his soul," Habakkuk 2:4, "which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Of all the references to faith in the Bible, perhaps the most familiar to most of us is the extended passage of Scripture which deals with this subject in Hebrews 11, often referred to as the great faith chapter of the Bible. And we admire our heroes because each of them exercised faith and God honored that faith. And that is how God has chosen to operate. He speaks. Here's the secret. In a nutshell. He speaks. We believe whatever he says. Believing causes us to take action. Stop. How do you know if you truly believe God's word? Do you use the phrase here, the proof's in the pudding? I never know. When you travel globally, I'm always afraid to use idioms because you never know what really fits. And sometimes I'm very forgetful these days. And I'm not going to go into that. I just had a horrible experience a few days ago because of something that I forgot. I can see with my bifocals. My dentures work just fine. I can live with my arthritis, but I sure do miss my mind. Look back at Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, I don't know how you lived your life in 2011. That's between you and God. But I want to remind you this morning, as you plan and prepare to live 2012, you will need to live by faith. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you're to please God, if you are to enjoy his rewards. But what is faith? Well, I wish I could, I mean this, I wish I could spend 6 or 8 weeks, 2 or 3 times a week even, speaking to you on this subject of faith. It's such a vital element of our lives. But today, I simply want to share with you what faith is. Nothing complex. Number one, faith is believing when I don't see it. Now, how do you know that, Dale? Well, man says seeing is believing, right? But with God, believing is seeing. And the chapter begins that way. Look back at verse 1. Now, faith is the substance, the reality, if you will, of things hoped for. Oh, I hope it doesn't rain this afternoon. Does that mean it won't rain this afternoon? No. Mere hope is not faith. You know, back in 1962, how many of you were alive in 1962? Not many of us. Another thing that I'm hesitant to do often anymore is I'm realizing as I age that most of the audiences are much younger than I am, and the things that I will draw from years ago, they have little clue about. And so humor me, the rest of you, except for us three will enjoy it, I hope. And then you have to make a stretch of it because it's an American illustration. In 1962, our president at the time, John F. Kennedy, made a prediction, and he said that America would put a man on the moon by the end of that decade. Now, we take that for granted today, don't we? But in 1962, when our United States president made that prediction, the technology did not even exist to accomplish that. But by the end of the decade, America had put a man on the moon and taken one small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind. And I see somebody wording the quote back here with me. We take that for granted. And now it is even old news. It's not news at all. In fact, the U.S. has already, I think, pulled out of the project But now, multiple nations have been sending, since 1998, I think it was, when the U.S. team went up and began assembling a space station. And now I don't think we even have a representative involved in it. I think it's all happening without America, where people go and live for months at a time in space. Faith. Somebody saw something that nobody else could see. Moses is a great example of that, because he could see him who was invisible. He could see God in his mind's eye, in his heart. Secondly, faith is obeying when I don't understand it. There is so much of life that you and I will not understand. And there is certainly very, very much of God, that we will never understand. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. And throughout the chapter, you read this recurring phrase, by faith. In this case, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Now, most of us look at that and we say, well, you know, I'm not sure if I would take that step. Because God said, Moses, come on, I want you to leave. Okay. Now, no, not you, not me. I'd said, leave. I'm comfortable. Leave. Where am I going? Because I want to make a decision if I want to go there or not. I want to be in charge, don't you? Ah, but for the believer who walks by faith, it is not us being in charge. It's us allowing God to be in charge, whether we see it or not, and obeying whether we understand it or not. One of the greatest tests we face in life is how quickly we obey God. I mentioned earlier that I raised 5 children and now have 6 grandchildren. I had a lot more patience with 5 children than I have with 1 grandchild. Oh my word. Making another identification here. I can only handle them one at a time by myself for about 15 minutes. Maybe a half hour on a good day. My youngest daughter, Joy, has 2 little girls. Emma is about 5, almost 6, and Brooklyn is just turned 3. No, she will turn 3 in March. Don't ask. When those 2 girls, I have them for very long, I am worn out. I say this tongue in cheek, I would have killed my kids for the things they get by with. Emma, she is so sharp mentally, I can no longer keep up. She doesn't forget anything. If I promised a year and a half ago to take her to breakfast for pancakes, she still remembers that Papa Pete has not taken her for pancakes. And I have to be very careful. But I raised 5 kids on this philosophy. Quickly, cheerfully, I will obey. And when one of my children was given an instruction and they didn't immediately begin to follow that instruction, or if they began to moan, David, and complain, I always loved David's stories. Here was what they would hear. Quickly, cheerfully, I will obey. And it does my soul good when I hear them repeating it to their children now, except their children don't seem to be listening. Number three, faith is giving when I don't have it. You see, giving and faith go together. Look at that connection in Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Faith and giving go together. I don't want to elaborate on that personally because it would appear to be boasting if I told you how good God has been. Through a series of unfortunate circumstances, I was divorced in 2000. My wife of 30 years walked out. There was no reconciling the marriage. But in the goodness of God, He brought a woman into my life several years ago who also had been hurt by the betrayal of a husband. And she came to our church. She accepted Christ at our church. She went through the ministry of divorce recovery and divorce care. And that was how we met, in the singles ministry at our church. Three years ago, November 1st passed, we were married. And Debbie has been one of the best things that ever happened to me. I can honestly say that. I say it without reservation. I say it to anybody when the conversation warrants it. God has been good to me. And part of this refreshing relationship is that Debbie is a young Christian. And giving, not that it wasn't at all a part of her life, but giving the way the Bible talks about was not a part of her life. A part of our discussion prior to marriage revolved around giving and church, obviously, because that's my world. And she said, well, I hope you don't mind me asking this, but how much do you give? I said, well, you can ask me anything. That doesn't bother me. So I said, well, my base is 10% of everything that all my income. You give 10%? Well, I could never do that. I'm thinking, uh-oh, we may have a problem here. And she said, but you said that's the base. What did you mean? I said, I mean that, well, I never do less than that, but I usually do this as well. And her eyes got about this big. So I thought, wow, maybe we've got a real problem brewing here. So it didn't seem to be a problem for her, and I wasn't going to speak for her income. Several months, maybe a couple of years had passed, and one Sunday I was at home, and we were leaving to go to our church, our home church. When we joined the church together, I told my pastor friend, I said, now, John, I'm going to be the worst church member you have. He said, what? I said, yep, I joined today, and you won't see me for 3 months. But as we started out of our car park, Debbie said, oh, stop, I forgot my offering. I said, where is it? I'll run and get it. And she said, it's sitting beside my computer on my desk. It's okay, I'll be right back. Ran upstairs, and here was a stack of offering envelopes. We had gone, I'd been on the road in the States for 6 Sundays, and she'd been traveling with me. There was one envelope for every Sunday. And I looked. It was more than a tithe on her income. And that brings so much joy to my heart, because it wasn't me putting pressure on her. It was her obeying God on her own. I hope sometime when I'm in the area, she'll be with me and you can get to meet Debbie. You'll love her. Number four, faith is persisting when I don't feel like it. Persisting when I don't feel like it. Modern culture usually tells us, if you feel like doing it, do it. If you don't feel like it, don't do it. That's a guaranteed formula for immaturity. How many of you are parents? You have at least one child? So let me ask you a question. Were children convenient to raise? Yeah, I wish I had your kids. Mine weren't. No, because there are those times when parents take turns walking the floor at night with a baby that won't sleep. Did you forget about that? There are all those dirty diapers that never come at an opportune time. You like, well, you know, when you're in the middle of your lunch at 2 for 10. Somebody has to stop, go change you don't call it diapers though, nappies. You knew what I was talking about, didn't you? You watch all that American television. No, persisting when I don't feel like it. Parents who are responsible parents do it whether they feel like it in the middle of the night or not. They will make sacrifices personally to make sure that the children's needs are met. We are willing to be inconvenienced to rear our children. And why is it that we as the children of God do not understand that sometimes in the course of our Christian experience it will not be easy. We will not feel like doing it, but we should do it anyway. Look at verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, he, Moses, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Circle that word in your mind. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. You see, successful people in any walk of life do what most people don't feel like doing. That's why they succeed. They do it whether they feel like it or not. We only accomplish the impossible for God when we see the invisible, God Himself, and we persist. Number five, thanking God before I receive it. Verse 30, and to do this is a statement of faith. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Do you recall the story? Do you not agree that this plan to capture this well-fortified city is almost ludicrous? Humanly speaking, you're going to go out there and walk around once a day, and on the seventh day you're going to walk around 7 times, not saying anything, and that's going to capture the city. That's exactly it. That's why I said early, obeying quickly, cheerfully, I will obey. Now, please don't think that I'm talking about some kind of power of positive thinking here, but think of all the possibilities. If we obey God, whether we understand it or not, whether we know all the details or not, In fact, in 2 Chronicles 20, Israel is outnumbered 3-1, and God said to put the musicians out front to praise him in advance. Remember the story? Why? Because it was already a done deal. And if God says he will do it, guess what? He will do it. And I mean to tell you that if God told me to row up to Moby Dick in a rowboat, I'd take the tartar sauce along. Believe God no matter what he says. Finally, faith is trusting God even if I don't get it. Look back at verses 35 through 40, in fact, and very, very quickly. Women received their dead raised to life again. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, watch, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, here's the key. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There is a bigger picture taking place than what you and I see with our vision. God is doing far more in this world than what he's doing in my little life. But you and I, with our lives all intertwined, are a part of the grand story of what God is doing in our world. Now, there are two things that I know about prayer after nearly 62 years now. Number one, God hears and answers every prayer I pray. You say, Dale, that's quite a boast. Well, you need to hear the second thing. God does not always answer those prayers the way I think he should. Now it makes more sense, doesn't it? Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. I always want him to say yes by my thinking. But often when God has said no, I've come to realize, even though I may not want to hear God say no at the time, I've learned down the road, I'm always glad God said no. Because he knows far better than you and I, not what I wish to be nor where I wish to go, for who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me, 'tis better far I know, so let him bid me go or stay. God is more interested in our character than our comfort, folks. Sometimes we don't remember that God is all we need until we're in a place where God is all we have. If God was small enough for me to understand why he answers my prayers the way he does, then he wouldn't be big enough to handle my problems. So let me ask you forthrightly this morning, how healthy is your faith? Is it growing? Faith is more than a mental assent that we believe in God. The demons also believe and tremble, but we'll not see those demons in heaven. Faith is a heart style that is lived out in a lifestyle that believes when we can't see it, obeys when we don't understand it, gives when we don't have it, persists when we don't feel like it, thanks God before we receive from Him, and trusts Him even when we don't get what we think at the moment we need. Let's bow in prayer. Some of you in the room perhaps today are experiencing full-time problems that you're trying to solve with part-time faith. Do you need to step across the faith line this morning with both feet today? It may be that you need to make Jesus Christ the object of your faith concerning salvation. Or perhaps it's that faith to take the step of baptism. Or maybe it's to take the step of faith into membership in the church here. Or it could be the step to dedicate your life to Him for whatever purpose He has for you. And it could be taking that step of faith to surrender your life to Him for vocational ministry. But my prayer, sincerely, is that whatever step of faith you need to take to the next level, you will take today. And Father, I present to you yet another eternity-bound audience. I do it every week of my life. Standing before people somewhere in the world, opening the eternal book, sharing from its truths, today being no exception. And for this eternity-bound audience, I pray that you will help every man, woman, boy and girl, the teenagers, to do now in the closing moments of the service in their own hearts and minds the step of faith that they will be glad they've taken one day when they face you to give an account of their stewardship of life. May they stand there not only with the humility that will be natural for a people who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, but to stand there with confidence, say, I spent my life for you, and now I've found it again. In Jesus' name, amen.